May the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
The peace that Christ gives. Christ's peace. What is it like? Christ says, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." Do you have Christ's peace in your heart? Do you have the peace of Christ in your heart? What does that feel like? If you have it, the peace of Christ, serenity of Christ, the joy of knowing Jesus, of loving him, that takes care of everything else. There are very strong words that Christ leaves for us, the gospel of this day. He says to his apostles, "Whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our dwelling with him." So how will God, the maker of the universe, dwell in someone? Imagine God, the maker of the universe, who created heaven and earth, dwelling in someone. How would that happen? Jesus tells us that it is possible. Only keep his word. And Jesus is the word of the Father. He says, "I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you will rejoice that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I." So Jesus is the word of the Father, the word made flesh, the word given to us, the word meant to dwell in our hearts. That is the peace. Anyone who loves Jesus would love his word each time it is proclaimed. So Jesus wants us to identify with his word. In the scriptures, we read about God's commandments. In the scriptures, we read about prayers. In the scriptures, we read about love. In the scriptures, we hear about Jesus. Jesus is proclaimed to us through the scriptures. And through keeping to what we hear, we have God in our hearts. Anyone who loves me will keep my word. The Father, in turn, will love the person, and we will come to him. The person who loves God bears the love of God, and the love of God dwells in the person's heart. And God dwells in the person because God is love. And he who dwells in love dwells in God. What a privilege. Jesus says further, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." When we hear about peace in today's world, what exactly comes to our mind? You know, it's the same reading. This same reading is proclaimed in the whole universal church today. So think beyond here as well in relation to what peace means in our world. The sacred scripture speaks to people in different circumstances, in different parts of the world. So people in other parts of the world are receiving this same word, and come to think of it, what does peace mean for someone in Ukraine, for example, at this time, hearing bomb blasts, shellings due to the Russian invasion? What does peace mean for such a person? I take it back to my own home country, and I also imagine, what does peace mean for people in parts of Nigeria where there is Christian persecution, where there is kidnapping and killing? What does peace mean for someone in Cameroon who cannot, for example, return or visit their homelands for insecurity reasons from political unrest? What does peace mean for someone in Venezuela who is hungry at this time? What does peace mean for a little child who is starving in Haiti, for example? So it's good we think beyond our own circumstance and understand what Christ is asking and what Christ is promising. My peace I give to you. Americans will definitely interpret this text based on their own socioeconomic and political circumstances. I was reading a response from the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, in reaction to the subway shooting that happened in New York City last week. And the governor said this: "New Yorkers' sense of tranquility and normalness was disrupted, brutally disrupted, brutally disrupted by an individual so cold-hearted and depraved of heart that they had no caring about the individuals that they assaulted." What does peace mean to the victims of this shooting, the families of these victims within the American society? What does peace mean to such people? What does peace mean to you? You have pains, you're suffering, you have some lack, you have some bills to pay, you have job problems and work-related issues, you have family addictions, you have worries about your children and all that and all that and all that. What does peace mean to you? The world truly does not know peace currently. The reason is not hard to find. There is a lot of restless and troubled hearts. I give you one example. Do you know that the annual U.S. rate suicide rate increased 30% between 2000 and 2020? 30% increase suicide rate in the U.S. The statistic says from 10.4 to 13.5 suicides per 100,000 people in the U.S. I was having this conversation with one of my friends last night, and we are wondering why is suicide on the increase? I mentioned it at the mass, one of the masses I said the other weekend, about a funeral that I conducted a 17-year-old boy. I mean, from a family that looks like they are intact. And then all of a sudden, this boy commits suicide. It's only an instance of what is happening and why a lot of people are asking questions. Parents are afraid. If you have teenagers, you are nervous. You are so watchful of what is going to happen because of influences, negative influences, because of influences from the social media, because of influences from peer group, because the society is crazy. What does peace mean at this time? Many hearts detest God's word. Many hearts have abandoned God's word. Many hearts even hate God's word and therefore hate those who proclaim it. Rather than let God dwell in such hearts, the devil can take over. The devil takes over, inciting hatred, wickedness, destruction, violence. Remember what Christ warned in the Gospel, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. Christ says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy." The thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he said, "I came that they may have life and have it in abundance." That is the peace of Christ. Many hearts base their satisfaction on material things. That is the reason why many hearts are troubled. So they feel frustrated once their desires are not satisfied, once their wayward demands and ambitions aren't achieved. No lasting peace can come from the world because such peace does not reside in this world. Material possession can never satisfy your desire, your innermost desire for peace. So Jesus says, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my word." If you keep Jesus' word, if you keep Christ's word, you know the meaning of peace. You know the meaning of joy. And you know that it is not found in your immediate desires, in your immediate gratifications. That is not where they are found. Christ goes even deeper and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. In fact, the first verse of this John's Gospel, chapter 14, Christ says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still and trust in me, because in my Father's house there are many mansions there." He takes us beyond where we live. Understand the scriptures. Trust in God still and trust in me. That is the reason for you not to let your hearts be troubled. And let's remember this, that Jesus is speaking today to his disciples about his departure. He's about to leave them. So what is happening to the disciples? They are concerned and afraid. And one of the greatest causes of fear is the feeling of abandonment. So the disciples are feeling like they are going to be abandoned by their master because they totally depend on Jesus. Taking him away generates some separation anxiety for them, and they are worried, they are nervous, they are concerned. You don't want Jesus taken away from you because he is your peace. The disciples don't want Jesus taken away from them. But Jesus tells them about what is going to happen. The Holy Spirit, the advocate of peace, will be with you. So I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not abandoning you. The Holy Spirit leads us in the direction of eternal peace. Eternal peace. So when Christ promises the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit after his ascension, he's assuring them of his continued presence with them. Spiritually, we have all received the Holy Spirit at baptism, And I'm hoping and believing at confirmation we have received the Holy Spirit, correct? How much does the presence of the Holy Spirit guarantee calmness in your life? Guarantee peace of Christ in your life? How much does the presence of the Holy Spirit take control of your desires? The presence of the Holy Spirit strengthens us to know and to do God's will. And the relationship between the Holy Spirit and Christ is explained in St. Paul's letter. If you read St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, St. Paul says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." This is the peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there you find freedom. My dear friends, there can be no better gift to ask for at this moment than the gift of the Holy Spirit. It feels as if the world is losing it. That's the way it feels, as if the world is losing it. Social media has taken over our inner peace. Social media has taken over our inner peace, created a lot of unrest in the hearts of men and women, and particularly in the hearts of the youth. There is social media anxiety now, social media anxiety, because several people simply depend and live on it, and it controls their lives. Social media cannot give you that lasting peace. Rather, it raises your anxiety. You keep your phone for a moment, and you go to the bathroom, it feels like the world is crumbling by the time you're coming back after your shower, right? That's the way it sounds, that's the way it looks. So you see, each day, each moment, your life is dependent more and more on what you're holding in your hand. Come to think about it, what you're holding in your hand. What exactly is wrong with the world? If you look around, economy seems to be getting worse and worse by day. Politics is becoming crazier each new day. School system is becoming more disoriented. Science is becoming more unpredictable as new diseases show up. The church is succumbing to secular forces and letting himself be driven by conventional beliefs. Family life is under pressure. Young people seem to be getting more and more confused. Some parents are nervous, but still afraid to stand by the truth of the gospel before their children. The youth are asking more and more questions, and we adults cannot provide those questions because we are relying on false sources to speak the truth. Where lies our peace? Where lies our peace? Christ speaks to you, speaks to me, he speaks to us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Christ's peace is unique because it focuses us on eternity. That's what makes Christ's peace unique. Christ's peace is not destroyed by hatred. Christ's peace is rooted in the power of prayer and the sacred scripture. It is found in union with Christ in the Blessed Eucharist, in the community of friendship, and in the friendship of those who have Christ's peace. Christ's peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you know them: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when Christ says, "I'm giving you the advocate," this is what he's giving to us: fruits of God's presence in our lives. So when Christ promises the advocate to teach us everything, he is reminding us of the source of peace and joy in our heart. So you can see the relationship between Christ's peace and God dwelling in us. Christ is inviting us today in an ongoing relationship with the Father. Only such relationship can guarantee serenity and calmness beyond what we are experiencing. Point your children to God's peace. Point your family to God's peace. Point your friends to God's peace, and you will know what true peace means. The goal of this peace is to get us eternal life. Eternity is where God dwells. And it makes sense when Christ says, "And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home in him." May God's peace dwell in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.